I've rarely met a girl who's such a potent argument in favor of international relations.
How strange. I'd close my eyes and I dream of something quite astonishingly different.
And all my days are trances, and all my nightly dreams are where thy dark eye glances.
Sometimes I play with Sam, but it hasn't been for a while, and it's really good musicians, and it makes it so I don't have to work very hard at all, and it's just good.
Oh, nice. Can you sing us a Curio opening in your best Morrissey?
Curio. No, that's not a Morrissey. I can't even get his throat right now. Carry on.
Perfect. Oh, your first one was more like snap. Elvis.
Can we snap? Is that okay?
No, snapping's bad too.
I had to think of the Moon River song. Moon River.
I am the sun and the air. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Curio Podcast!
Welcome back, peeps!
Ziggy is here with us. He's very excited. He's looking at me like I'm going to say something spectacular. Little does he know, because he can't speak much English, that I really am.
He can sense it.
He knows I'm spectacular. Anyway, I'm here. B's here.
I'm here too. Yeah.
Uh-oh. And Ziggy's here. Ziggy's pissed.
Ziggy's needs he needs a lot of personal space right now, and
he needs a little bit of a run around, I think.
Ah.
He's looking at me like it's
you need to
stroll
get your friskies
time.
Out. Get your
friskies. So this week we thought we'd talk about our most embarrassing moment. And I've got a really good one.
Lay it on us, Cass. I have so many to choose from, I can't even pick one.
I could probably think of one for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe
you might
not
have to do that. Maybe. We've known each other long enough that this is, there's no.
So, when I lived in Tennessee, my family lived in Tennessee for like 2.5 years. My grandparents moved there. My dad moved us out there because it was the recession during the early 80s.
Right.
And he was having trouble finding work here in California, so we moved there. And my best friend at the time, Leanna, she knows who she is.
Does she listen to the podcast?
I don't know, but I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Well,
I'll let her know.
We lived together in high school. You got in touch with her again, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, her dad was a youth pastor at this church, and so I started going to church with them, and it was, you know, we did youth group things like play chess on Friday nights and go to Pizza Hut, go on hikes, things like that.
Oh, good, nice, wholesome.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the things that we did was to go to church camp in the summertime, and we had to earn money to get there. And so we would go around and like mow people's yards. That was how we earned the money to go to church camp. Anyway, so we go to church camp. It's kind of wild. It's not really my scene, but I'm there with my peeps. Whatever. I think I'm 13 at this point.
Okay.
And
that's a tough age.
It's a tough age. I was very awkward.
And everybody is.
Everybody else is, but you don't know that at the time.
No.
You just think you're the only one.
Exactly.
I was also on my period.
Oh. Is this a period story?
It's not a period story,
oh, okay.
But if you can just imagine the feeling. Mm-hmm. It's summertime, it's hot, everybody's swimming. I can't go swimming because I'm on my period, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So this church, this religion, this form of religion, they didn't believe in dancing or rock music, things like that.
Was this like, it wasn't Pentecostal?
It was Pentecostal.
It was Pentecostal. Wow.
Yes.
I don't have much, I don't know much about Pentecostalism. Help me.
I don't either, because after that I got out of it.
But I do know they don't like dancing and music, and boys and girls shouldn't touch each other.
Right.
And it's kind of punitive.
Yes.
Isn't there a punitive feel to it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, no dancing, but it's camp. It's summer camp, right? But it's weird church summer camp. So during the day, we're doing things like summer crafts, and at nighttime, there's basically revival meetings every night, which, for those of you that don't know, is like a giant tent where they're preaching fire and brimstone, and people are speaking in tongues, and hands are up in the air and running around, and it's crazy. And it's all kids and a few adults.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And at the end of the weekend, instead of a dance, they told us there would be a banquet. And boys and girls would go together. So boys were supposed to ask a girl to go to the banquet. No holding hands or anything like that, but you were supposed to have a date. And so a boy that was in our youth group, his name was Albert, I think he was 16, he asked me if I would go to the banquet. And I didn't want to, and Leanna was like, oh, come on. And so I said yes. Well, my family was very, very poor. I went with no money to the camp. I didn't have proper shoes. I didn't have proper clothes. I borrowed my sister's slip for the one dress that I brought. And my sister was bigger than me at the time. So I get all dressed up for this banquet, and Leanna and I are coming late. So there's already a line of kids pairing off to get into the banquet hall to sit down to have this meal. And so most of the kids in the camp are already lined up alongside this banquet hall, and there's a huge field. And I'm walking across the field, and the slip that I'm wearing slips off.
Oh, no.
Right down to the ground.
Oh.
Now, this was like 1983, 1984, something like that. No, yeah, 85, maybe. I was so embarrassed instantly. I kicked my shoe off, which was a jelly, by the way, and not mine. It was too big.
Oh, the jelly shoes.
Yes. Okay. I went to kick the slip off.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the shoe flew off in the other direction.
Oh, no.
So then I just kicked the other shoe off, left the slip where it was, and ran to the bathroom.
Oh.
In tears, just crying in the bathroom. And my friends, bless them, gathered up the slip, and they gathered my shoes, and they brought them to me in the bathroom. We tied the slip so it wouldn't fall down again. We put my shoes back on, dry my eyes. I go to get in line next to Albert.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say a word. How are you? You look so lovely. Like, it was so kind the way everybody responded to my fucking freak out about the slip falling.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the banquet got weirder from there. And I was so incredibly awkward during the banquet. I had never, you know, I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
This was basically my first date, and my slip had fallen off in front of like 200 people. But like, I spilled my drink, I dropped my fork, like everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was horrible. But that night after dinner, so there's no dancing, right? So what do a bunch of kids at church camp do after dinner?
Do you play chess?
No, you watch films about how horrible Prince and Madonna and Duran Duran and Aerosmith are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was at that moment they told us that we needed to get rid of all the music that we were listening to. And, I mean, you know me.
Right.
I love music.
Yes.
You cannot take that away from me. No. And that was when I decided, like, oh, this is kind of weird. Right. And they had also told us that they wanted us to start wearing dresses even when we weren't in church. They wanted us to wear dresses, like, out in the world, to school, blah, blah, blah. And so I...
Why?
It's part of their religion. If you can imagine, like, have you ever seen that family that has the 19 kids or whatever, and all the girls wear skirts all the time?
Oh.
It's... I now think it's a form of, you know, control.
Right.
But, no, I'm wearing damn pants. So that's my... If I'm thinking back, that's probably the moment that I was the most embarrassed in. Like, probably horrible things have happened to me since then. But I, mm-hmm. my reaction to them is like, fuck it, whatever.
Right.
But I was so awkward and so self-conscious. And basically going on my first date, I was mortified.
Yeah.
Like, I even now I can remember how I'm feeling. And my I feel like my skin is getting flushed even thinking about it.
Oh, man. Well, you were put in a position, where your behavior, there were very, very specific expectations regarding your behavior.
Yes.
Your dress.
Yes.
Your everything. And you didn't, sounds like you didn't feel like you were prepared properly.
No.
And you weren't, it was something very unfamiliar. The whole thing was an unfamiliar experience.
Right.
And it's yeah, kind of a recipe for disaster.
Quinn.
Hey.
Do you have a most embarrassing moment?
I have a lot.
I mean, is there one that, like, really stands out that you would feel comfortable telling us?
Yeah, sure. So I used to rap.
You did?
Yeah, you don't remember any of that?
No, I remember the NSYNC phase.
Yeah, I used to rap back in high school with my friend Devante.
That is right. I do remember that.
And I rapped a little bit more after that, but it's on the internet. It's like one of the things I'm really like embarrassed about. And all my most of my friends like have the links to the videos, and they'll like quote my rap lyrics, and it always just hurts.
Which friends are these? Because I'm gonna chew them out the next time they come
March
over.
March always does it. Favion and Tony. It's a big thing. But yeah, so anyways.
Guys like to do that too. Girls yeah. girls don't jab that way, but guys do. They yeah. find the soft spots and they keep
yeah.
They keep pushing.
Girls like to make new soft spots.
My that's not my most embarrassing moment. The moment was like Devante had like a gig for someone who was having their birthday party.
Remember this.
I told you about it.
I think so, yeah, but go ahead.
Someone who had their birthday party at, like, the Hilton Hotel, wow. and it was, like, their 20th or their 21st birthday party or something, and I told him I'd do it, and I was really kind of hesitant, and then he surprised me by bringing Mary, who was my girlfriend at the time, and I was like, no, I really don't want her to see this, but she was, like, she was in the car, like, driving with us, and I was like, ugh. But anyways, we get there, and I'm really nervous, and I think I'm gonna switch the first few lyrics of my rap to, like, give a shout-out to Mary, you know, like,
right.
oh, my girlfriend is here, I love her, kind of a thing. And it just, I tried it and just choked, and I was like, just for my whole verse, I just didn't.
You didn't say anything?
I said a few things. I tried to get back into it, but just so obviously choked. You know?
Aww.
So that's one of my most embarrassing, definitely. Top three, at least.
That makes me feel so bad for you.
We all are embarrassed. It's what makes us human. It's
I know, but he's my baby. I don't want him to feel those things. I want him to...
Most
it's so hard
already?
With
I have.
Kids. I haven't... Give me one. Remind me of one.
I don't know. You were always just kind of silly and goofy.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is period related. Sorry, Quinn.
All right, I'll just leave that in
there. Is that a honey bun you're eating?
Yeah.
And I think it was, I think a lot of times embarrassing moments like the really big ones happen when we are, when we're in a phase of our lives where we are so self-aware.
Yes.
And we are convinced that everybody in the world is paying so much attention to us.
Yes.
That everything we do is under magnifying glass, and it's such a hard time to be a person. It's so hard. Anyway, I reached maturity very early. 8 is when I started my period.
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
No. So I was not mentally or emotionally prepared
for this thing
that happened. And so I didn't, and my mom didn't, you know, I mean, she told me how to manage it for the most part. And she told me to, you know, you should pay attention to when it comes and everything. And I don't feel like I got as much help as I really needed because I was so young, mm-hmm. and it wasn't on my radar.
Right.
I was still, you know.
The other girls weren't going through it yet.
The other girls weren't going through it. And that's another thing. Like, when you're in elementary school, there are no little boxes for tampons or right. pads. There's nothing in the bathroom. There's nothing there for you.
Right.
So I got it one day, unannounced. I had no idea it was coming. I had white pants on. And no! I've always had a really, really heavy flow.
Right.
I measured it once. I got one of those Diva cups and I measured how much. And it's like, it's gallons.
Yeah, me too. It's like a torrential downpour.
They're like, the norm on that, you should like... 2 ounces a month or something. I'm like,
whenever I read that, I'm like, who are these women?
Who are they? But I know they exist. My daughter's one of them. And I'm like, how often do you? And she's like, looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, back to the story. So this happened at school. White pants.
Oh.
Totally unprepared. Totally terrified. I left a mess on the seat. I had a sweatshirt. Fortunately, I had a sweatshirt. Tied it around my waist. And I was so scared, I didn't tell anybody. So it was probably midday. I want to say it was after lunch.
Right.
So I suffered through the rest of the day. Just terrified.
Aww.
Like, and nobody said, you know, my mom never said, if this happens... go to the nurse. If this happens, tell your female teacher. Because...
well, people didn't really talk about it back then.
And people didn't talk about it. It wasn't... I mean, these days, it's like, you know, girls talk about their tampons. And it's a topic of... with my daughter, I laid it out for her. I'm like, here's the deal. You know, keep track of the days. I'll help you if you need, blah, blah, blah. Because I was probably overcompensating.
Right.
And I've told her from the get-go, if you ever need help, if it ever comes and you're not ready, find any female.
Every female.
She is on your side. She will help you. She will get you fixed up.
Right.
Your teacher, your, you know, anybody.
What did your mom say later?
I never told her.
Oh, you didn't even tell her? I'm sure she must have seen your pants when she did the laundry. Oh,
I'm sure she did. Yeah, I'm sure she figured it out, but we didn't talk about it.
You know, when I started my period at 11, which is old in my family, most of the girls start them 9, 10, mm-hmm. I had been waiting for it. But when it started, I was too embarrassed to even tell my mother. Like, I was afraid I was going to get in trouble or something. It was the weirdest thing. So I was making makeshift pads out of toilet paper and stuff, and she figured it out. And came to me, and she said, do you need pads? That's what she said. And I was like, yeah. But I was scared to death. I remember when she came to me, I was like, oh, my God. But then, like, we went to my grandma's house, and me and my mom and my grandma and my sister were sitting in her living room. And my grandma started telling these horror stories. Oh, now, she was born in 1922, so you can just imagine.
The old days.
The old days. Just horror stories about pads or rags, basically, rags, and having to wash them. And one time she was looking through the window and saw her mom changing her rag, and she didn't know what it was. And she said her mom beat her after that. So the stigma that's been around menstruation for so long, yeah. I mean, and it affected our generation, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I'm really happy that it doesn't... The girls today seem to be able to just talk about it without...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Our sound scientist is here.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
We're talking about our most embarrassing moments. Do you have any?
Singing Curio at the beginning of the set today.
Oh, come on. That was wonderful.
That wasn't that embarrassing. I'm pretty embarrassed that I can't find my phone.
It's right here.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
It's awesome. I got to tweak Eddie right now because I just took his... $175 vacuum that he threw in the trash and made it perfectly perfect because he couldn't clean it. And so now we have a studio vacuum.
Awesome.
Yay. My house vacuum gets to stay in its place.
It does.
Thank you, honey.
Actually, this one's quite nice if you want to switch for it. We can take the house one.
Well, no, I like mine. What
vacuum do you have?
I don't know. Whatever I could find on sale.
But you like it.
But it's brand new, so I'm keeping it.
There you go.
Bye, love ladies. You.
Bye, Dr. Sound Scientist Doug.
Dr. Sound... Dr. Evil Sound Man.
He's not evil.
He can be. But he's pretty cute, so people usually forgive him.
It occurred to me that I probably have a whole host of inebriated, embarrassing moments.
Oh my god, I have a picture of one.
Oh no.
Do you remember the time you just jumped into Corey's swimming pool with all of your clothes on? And I have a picture.
Oh, I think I do have a vague recollection of that.
Somebody was convincing you and you were so drunk. We were like, everybody's just going to jump in the pool in their clothes. I don't know who was telling you.
Okay.
It was probably my sister, but.
Probably. She's an instigator.
She's an instigator.
I remember we left a Grateful Dead show at the L.A. Coliseum. You remember this?
Yeah. No, I didn't go to that show. I was pregnant with Quinn.
It was me, Cass. No, I mean me, Kelly, and Beck.
Yeah.
And we had the Thomas Guide out. Now, mind you, we were trying to leave a Grateful Dead show in a car. That's all I'm going to say. And I says to my ladies,
have you seen the Tignataro? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Whoever can read this map gets to sit in the front seat.
And so my sister says she
can. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. And Becky was like, she's all, I can read the map, but she didn't want
she didn't want the responsibility.
We ended up in one of the scariest freaking parts of L.A.
And was she laughing the entire time?
Oh, yeah. And she was yanking my chain all over town. And there are prostitutes, and there are drug dealers, and there are weapons, and it is dark, and there are police officers. And I'm like, where are we? Oh, my God. And somehow, we made it home. And we took the 110. And
110 is magic.
That was a get out of jail free card. It was really magic that night. Let me tell you something. Oh God. Grateful Dead show at the Coliseum was, there are two places I have seen Dead shows that were, it is said that the Grateful Dead.
I went to a Coliseum show with you, but it was before Quinn was born.
Yes.
It was like before I got pregnant with Quinn.
Herb was there.
No, he went with us to the show in Tempe.
That's right.
Remember, yeah. And there were like 10 of us sleeping in one hotel room?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was actually a really fun weekend. No, that's the show where Herb was, he had never been to a show before, and he was laughing hysterically at all the white people clapping to the music.
Right.
Because
it sounded like a machine gun.
It sounded like a machine gun.
I remember you said that, and I thought that was the funniest thing I had ever heard, because it was true.
It's true.
And to this day, whenever Paul and I are at a Dead show, I'm always like, look at this diverse group of crackers. Just a bunch of white people. Like, there's no... Oh my gosh, we saw Harry Perry at the show in Shoreline.
You really? Him?
Yes.
The dude from Venice Beach?
With the turban and everything.
Did he have the turban on?
Yes, he did.
Did he have his rollerblades on?
He did not. They didn't allow them. But, yeah, he was there.
He's like a minor celebrity, that guy.
He's on tour, he said, with Dead & Company.
Aww.
And Paul bought one of his CDs, and I gave him a hug. And I said, I am so glad you're well. I'm so glad you're well.
How old is he now? He was old when I was little.
He doesn't look like he's aged a day. Like he stepped out of a freaking time machine. And I'm not shitting.
You don't shit?
I'm not. Not right now. He looked great. And I was like, it was just bizarre.
This reminds me that I hate it when my family comes to visit and everybody always wants to go to Venice Beach.
Mm.
It's fun once in a while. But when you're the perpetual tour guide...
It's like, yeah, when people would come visit us and up in Livermore and everybody always... Paul would be like, let's go to Fisherman's Wharf. And I'm like, there's so many cool parts of the Bay Area. Fisherman's Wharf is just...
You know, Doug and I are going up to San Francisco for our 20th wedding anniversary.
When?
Well, soon, we're going up next weekend.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Our anniversary is on the 18th of July, but anyway, he's never been to San Francisco.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's pretty much a homebody. He's always been within, like, 5 miles of Arcadia. So anytime he's ever left L.A. County, it's because I made him. So we're going to San Francisco.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun.
So I'm going to have to go to Fisherman's Wharf because he's never been.
He's never been there.
Plus, I really like that little historical arcade that's on the wharf.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my favorite spot. It?
Oh.
Music. I'll think of it later.
Yeah. Oh, what is it? I can't remember. Yeah, that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the ship over there.
But I already tried to look up, because I thought, you know, let's just do the San Francisco thing, like go to Alcatraz, all that. All the tours are sold out already. It's that time of year.
There's so many other little bits and pieces, though, like the streetcar museum. That place is freaking awesome. There's this whole...
It takes you
into the, like, belly of the machine where the streetcars run. And
really?
And you can see it. Oh, yeah. It's really cool. It's in a residential neighborhood, kind of. It's not...
I'll look that up.
The Buena Vista, where the Irish coffee was born.
Oh.
Yes. You gotta go there.
Wait. Irish coffee was not born in Ireland?
No. As far as I know, Irish coffee was born at the Buena Vista...
Or that's what they want you to know.
And they've got the special... Remember Libby glasses?
Mm-hmm.
They created the Irish coffee glass. There's a very specific one for the Buena Vista for their Irish coffee.
Huh.
Go there.
I'll go there.
Go there.
You know where we're staying is the San Remo Hotel, which is...
Is that in the financial district?
No. It's near the North Shore. It's like kind of near the North Shore-ish.
Ooh.
But it's built on top of... It's like a bed and breakfast, but not really. More like a pensione in Italy. It's built on top of the first Italian restaurant in the United States.
California. Oh, I know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it's the hotel
cool
on top of that.
Area.
Yeah.
Yay!
So it's our 20th wedding anniversary. We made it. We did it.
20 years.
Voila. He's pretty fun. I mean, we've had our moments, but for the most part, we get along really well. And we leave each other alone, or we bug each other. I'm not sure, but...
It's meant to be.
He makes me laugh a lot.
He's a nice guy.
And I was remembering...
He's a good guy.
You know, the... when I first saw him and I fell madly, instantly in love with him, and I told you that he was the number one finalist on my list of men.
I remember that! Yeah. Number one finalist, because you did have an actual list.
I had an actual list of men going at that event we were at.
Yeah.
And you said to me, oh, that guy? That's Doug. That's the one Digger's been trying to hook you up with.
Oh my God, our whole trip through Africa. Whole trip. He was like, man, we got Doug and Cassie. They've got to hook up. They'd be perfect together. He was like,
and we did when you guys were gone. And
totally obsessed.
Without your help.
Isn't that amazing?
The universe was pushing us into each other.
He was sending letters back to Fano.
Oh, really?
Promoting you. He was. She's I'll have so to thank cool. him again. She's totally nice. Blah, blah. I mean, hey, Ziggy. Look at
there's no biting.
He was convinced. It was like his dream come true that you guys get together.
That's so... He knew.
He knew. He knew. He was
thank
like,
you, oh, Digger. Yeah. It was right and true.
Yep. Aww. It was. That's funny. What a weird circle
that was. It was a weird circle.
It still is. There's still weird connections. Like, I'm still discovering oddball connections with people. Like Claire and Kathy Pentecost know each other.
How do they know each other?
I don't even know. I can't remember. Like, they...
Well, Kathy's connected to a lot of people. A lot of people that I know in lots of different directions.
Okay.
She's a connector. What is that called? A linchpin? A cornerstone?
Hmm.
What is that term?
I don't know.
Okay, now I've got reverse puberty. And it's really hot in here.
Oh. Do you want a fan? I have a fan. I keep on looking
you
here.
Keep on
it's very pretty. Look, it's this beautiful boutique fan.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, see? Isn't that
oh,
nice?
That's much better.
Yeah.
I can breathe again.
I think every woman our age should have one of those.
But I carry a little purse. Well, that might fit.
Becky's mom used to have this beautiful sandalwood fan.
I remember it. Mm-hmm. I remember distinctly when Donna was going through menopause. I often actually think about it because she chose, like, natural remedies instead of, you know...
Well, and she always was very forthright with everything. There were no secrets with Donna, which was really, I mean, for me, it was awesome because I was searching for any kind of mother figure.
Yeah.
You know, I needed that information, and she just laid it all on the line. You'd be talking to her, and all of a sudden her face would just go, whoa.
Yeah.
And out comes the fan. You're like, that's what's going to happen.
That's going to happen to me.
Right.
Oh, I just didn't. I guess I lost track of time or something, and I didn't realize it was coming.
It was gonna happen.
Yeah.
I still struggle. I still struggle with knowing who I am in time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Because it feels like... excuse me. Oh, sorry, Ziggy. My shorts are riding up. they're too big, so they float around. I swear... I feel like I'm still 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel real that I'm this old. And I'm also not that old.
No.
But mortality has been peeking its head around the corner at me lately. Whereas before, you know, when you're young, you don't really have to think about that stuff.
No. No.
So.
You're not supposed to either.
Right. You wouldn't do dumb, stupid things that help your brain grow if you were constantly worried about your own mortality.
Right, yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I still want to do dumb things sometimes, though, to make my brain grow.
I know. I like to encourage you to do dumb things. Remember that thing we did in Livermore? Shh, don't tell anyone.
You gotta have fun.
You gotta fuck shit up once in a while.
You gotta fuck shit up once in a while and have fun and do stupid, silly things. It's so liberating.
It really is.
It's so... I always tell Paul that. I said, I like being on the fringe. Because there's... You know, if you're fringy...
Then you can get away with more.
You can get away with more. And you don't have any norms to, like, conform to.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's something interesting, I think, about... Previous generations, especially like mid-century social
robots?
Norms. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Beats fought against.
Right.
Were all the social norms. No, Mr. Ziggy.
Ziggy's chewing on Kimmy's...
Yeah, you're not...
Oh, he's going to try and catch it.
So, but golly, it was like... It was so important to fit in and be like your neighbor and do all the same things and... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But can we back up just a second? You just said golly.
golly. I like to say golly.
Gee willikers.
Because nobody says it. Huh, Ziggy? Golly.
I actually do say gersh darn it.
I like to say dag nabbit,
too. Dag nabbit's a good one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. There's a whole bunch of words out there that people just have kicked to the curb.
Especially, like, if you have relatives from the South or the Midwest. Oh, yeah. My aunt Zona Gale lives up in Oregon, and every year when we go, we stop and see her. And one year I was getting ready to do my solo Italy trip, and I saw her right before I was leaving, and so I was telling her, yeah, I'm going to go to Italy this year by myself, and she was like, what? What? Yeah, I'm going to go by myself. And so she was having me explain it to her, and I get done explaining it to her. She's in her 80s, but she looks like she's 60-something. She still goes and cleans the post office where she worked for years because she didn't trust them to do it right. So she goes once a week and cleans the post office. That's so she's awesome. Spry and very active. But so I finished my whole description of my trip to Italy, and her expression was, well, that's just stupid.
You looked like Doug when you said that. Oh my gosh, that's just stupid.
But the way she said it, it wasn't a put down. It was more like her saying, well, I wouldn't do that. You're being brave. But the way she said it, it just
I see.
Cracked me up. And I say it all the time now. And I even think it inside my head with her accent. Well, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
And she's from Oregon.
And somehow she's got this.
Well, her parents were, her parents, my great-grandparents, were from Texas. Oh. They moved from Texas to North Hollywood. That's where my grandmother was born. And then they moved to Oregon. That's where Zona was
born. Where were they in Texas?
Johnson City?
We've had this conversation. Yeah,
and Cherokee County? I don't know.
Hmm.
They owned oil land down there, and they got taken advantage of. My grandma Mary, great-grandma, she had a bunch of kids. I can't remember. But I only remember meeting her once. She was in her 90s. And she was hysterical. I was like 4, so I barely remember anything. But the one thing I remember is that she wore wigs.
Oh.
And to make me laugh, she would take it off and spin it around. I remember being at my aunt's house. And she thought it was just delightful to make me laugh by taking her wig off. Oh, those Texans.
Oh, yeah, and their wigs. They like their wigs. They like their big hair.
All right, it's getting hot in the studio. There's no air conditioning in here, so.
You want the fan back?
Oh, I think we'll just wrap it up.
All right, ribbity wrap.
And we don't know what's coming up. If you've got any ideas for us, you know, let us know, because we're willing to talk about just about anything.
Obviously.
We just told you about our tampons and shit.
Our tampons, our drunk escapades. I can't drink like I used to, that's for sure.
I can't at all. Mm. I never really did. I mean, I occasionally, but I'm good after like one beer now. If I had two, I'd be like sick and have a hangover the next day.
I alternate beer and water. That works.
At work? How dare you?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. I just get lit at work. I'm like, let me at that spreadsheet, bitches. I got some major mojo going on with the Excel right now. Y'all step aside. You want that report? I am your lush lady. We should do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast. A podcast.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I would have said we should do it tonight, but my brain was already fried, and I just imagined me like sinking into the couch.
It has to be kind of a, yeah.
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 But,
and it's too hot.
It's really hot.
Although I think when you smoke pot, your body temperature goes down a little.
Oh, are you trying to convince me to smoke pot right now?
Dude,
guess what else happens? Your boobs grow. Your hair becomes luxurious. It cures cancer. That last one's true, by the
makes
way.
Makes you a little taller.
Makes your dog a little cuter. How can that be? He's already too cute.
He's so cute. Say bye-bye, Ziggy. You speak? you speak? Go ahead.
You want to talk about it? What do you want to say?
Speak, Ziggy, speak.
All right. Ziggy says, look us up on the iTunes, the Stitcher, the et cetera, the doodads, the Instagram, the Twitter, curiopodcast.org. And we also have a Facebook group, which I think you've got to ask to join, but we will approve you.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
And we'd love to hear your ideas. And also, you know, like, be cool to one another. And, like,
be nice. Go have a conversation with a stranger.
Smile.
Hug someone you don't know. Carefully.
I'm gonna hug all the people on the street today. I'm gonna hug them when they are.